Welcome to Head Games Radio, Sirius Satellite Sports Byline Network, with Christine Brennan joining us today, who's our special BCS Championship Day correspondent, as well as tomorrow, to give us a look back at the game. But as we look at the keys, who better to look at it than somebody that's covered sports for many times, award-winning writer Christine Brennan. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
Oh, hey, Nick, it's great to be on your show. Thanks.
You know, there's some basic concepts that you and I were talking about. The idea that Ohio State still can't get out of, and I think this game would do a lot to remedy, which is the lack of perception of team speed for the Big Ten.
Well, and we saw it, didn't we, with Michigan. You know, you'd say, hey, it's the new Big Ten. You know, it's no longer Woody Hayes and Bo Schembechler, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Of course, that's long gone. That was the 60s and 70s. But, Nick, it was so interesting to watch Michigan not be able to adjust at halftime in the Rose Bowl. And I couldn't help but wonder as I watched another Big Ten debacle. And I'm from Big Ten country, Toledo. I went to Northwestern,
yes, you are.
I have a Big Ten bent. And I've watched those teams over the years. But what surprised me, and I had to think that Jim Tressel had to shudder just a bit, because even though he's focused so much on team speed the last couple of years, to watch Michigan, a team he beat by only 3 points at home in Columbus on November 18th, to watch Michigan get torched by USC, there has to be a question in a lot of people's minds going into tonight's game, including mine. The question about Ohio State's team speed, what happened to Michigan a week ago, is that going to be a bit of a harbinger for what happens tonight? That's, of course, the key question.
And the other thing is, on the other side of it, is the fact that USC basically just threw the ball nonstop in that second half, and Michigan had no answers. Well, we're going to talk about some more answers for you in this next segment with Christine Brennan. Then we'll have our usual Hall of Famer, Len Dawson, join us. We'll have Al Saunders, the former offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, talk about that offensive horror show of the Chiefs. Was it more the Indianapolis defense, or was it the Chiefs' lack of execution? And we'll move on with Merrill Hodge from ESPN to go over the playoffs, go over the new matchups, looking forward to next weekend. We'll be right back with Christine Brennan on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.
In today's active world, everyone is turning to exercise and sports to stay young and keep in shape. Both activities can be painful. And what about the aches and pains of arthritis and tendonitis as we age? Now, there's an over-the-counter product with active ingredients that can help relieve pain quickly. It's called Blue Goo. Blue Goo is loaded with emu oil, MSM, eucalyptus oil, glucosamine, chondroitin, and other healthful ingredients that give you lasting pain relief. Whether it's muscle strains and sprains, tendonitis, headaches, back and neck aches, arthritis, or joint pain relief, Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel is for you. It's fast, effective, and affordable. Blue Goo, the real pain reliever, is available in the analgesic department. Or ask your pharmacist for Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel. Accept no substitutes. Make sure it's Blue Goo, the only name to trust in pain relief. Let Blue Goo Pain Relief Gel work for you. Blue Goo, if you have a problem or pain, we have a solution. Blue Goo.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Are you a sports trivia fanatic? Why not turn your sports addiction into a career? Former Sports Byline host David Brody, president of Broadcaster Marketing Services, is ready to help you launch an exciting career as a professional sportscaster. Let BMS teach you how to break into the business. BMS will produce your demo, create your resume, and guide you along as you enter the most thrilling profession known to man. Call BMS at 205-979-4577. Visit us on the web at sportsbroadcastingcoach.com.
This is Nick Lowry, and I'm here to tell you about HeadGamesRadio.com, the official website of Head Games Radio. If you can't listen to the show every day, just go to HeadGamesRadio.com and join the Head Games team. You'll get to listen to Head Games highlights from our superstar guests. As a member, you'll be entitled to exclusive offers and information, so register with us so we can send you updates and special giveaways that non-members just can't get. Stay tuned. Check out HeadGamesRadio.com. Email us and join the Head Games family.
Hey, sports fans, you love Wrestling Observer Live? Can't get enough of it? Well, now you can get it delivered directly to your computer every week, automatically, so you can listen when and where you want, as many times as you want, on your PC or on your iPod. Just go to sportsbyline.com and click on the Get Podcast button and have your weekly Dave Meltzer wrestling fix delivered free. Visit sportsbyline.com today.
Yes, I was fired. It happens to most coaches. Well, what are you going to do? Are you going to just lie there in the fetal position and whimper?
Welcome back to Head Games Radio. That is Marv Levy talking about when it going gets tough, are you going to lie there and whimper? And a lot of those moments of truth were faced by teams this week. I think Tony Romo is trying to decide whether he is going to have to do that with the frustration and the great heartache of what happened at the end of that game. But we're not going to go to that right now. We're going to go to Christine Brennan with some more about tonight's matchup, particularly that wonderful Sports Illustrated jinx, as well as the Heisman jinx itself. Troy Smith, do you think he can handle the hype, the attention, the sense that now he's the world beater? Can he handle this? He's done it all season.
He has, Nick, and I think it's going to be really a testament to Jim Trussell, the coach, and to Troy himself. You know, can he pull it off? Because we know that there is a Heisman jinx, and you're right, an SI jinx as well. I mean, think of Jason White, the Oklahoma quarterback. Terrible game against USC a few years ago down in the Orange Bowl in the national championship game. You go back to Gino Toretta with Miami. You know, Danny Werfel had troubles. Yeah, exactly.
Who? Danny who?
And so there is a bit of a Heisman jinx. And, of course, as you and I were chatting earlier, you're a football player. You know this far better than I, covering it all these years. The long layoff. Ohio State last played November 18th. That is a lifetime ago. How do you feel that's going to affect guys like Troy Smith and that Ohio State offense?
Well, the thing is, one of the things we'll talk about in the next few weeks is the fact that I do not like the two-week layoff, just the two-week layoff before the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl has been hurt tremendously, I think, by the perception of lackluster games. More recently, it's been a lot better, but a number of those games were after one-week layoffs. Now you're talking about college with a 50-day layoff. My friend Mike Slive, who was on the show a couple of weeks ago, the BCS commissioner, who was my first agent many, many years ago in 1978 coming out of Dartmouth, and we've talked about that. I believe, Christine, that the answer to this, tonight is one step, but the answer is a Final Four. It is reducing that 50-day layoff to maybe 45 days, cutting the schedule a couple days so that kids make sure they do get that education, they do study, they do get some sort of educational experience during the football season. But the bottom line is, if you had Florida and Michigan in one bracket, Ohio State, USC in another, and had those two games be the Final Four leading to the final championship, that adds one more week. That's not irreconcilable to the goals of education and those priorities, but it also, I think, does a lot to end any of this lasting criticism of the process.
Well, and I'd like to see, I think it's a great point you're making, Nick, and I'd like to see the existing bowls be used. I mean, the structure is there. You know, you can have all these other kind of smaller bowls, but to use the big ones, the Rose, the Sugar, the Orange, the Fiesta, the Cotton, if you want, you know, whatever else out there, and use them in some kind of playoff structure, maybe rotate or at least have, you know, some of those big games almost like the preliminaries, you know, the quarterfinals, and then you pick your four, you know, then you can normally, usually in a season, find four teams you can agree on as the best four, and then have those three extra games, two semifinals and a final. I think we're coming close to that point, although I still love the arguing. I'm kind of old school that way. But, you know, if Ohio State wins tonight, Ohio State's national champ, no doubt about it. I'm sure there'll be some people, Boise State, but not really. But if Florida wins, now you've got several teams with one loss. Florida will be deemed the national champ by the coaches, but you could, you know, the long layoff, Ohio State was so dominant during the regular season, it's almost like we're talking about two different seasons here, isn't it?
Absolutely, and six of these games have been won by the underdog. To look at the specifics before they let you go for today, Florida has a guy named Percy Harvin, number 8, 13.3 yards rushing per play, more than 50 yards per score. Ohio State will have to stop him. That's the speed merchant, if you will. Florida has, as a kicker, it's just amazing to see they've done it as well. If the game comes down to a field goal, they will be in real trouble. And Ohio State, to me, Antonio Pittman, when you establish the run, even if they want to show that they are more than that, and Troy Smith has done that, Ohio State needs to establish the run with Antonio Pittman.
Well, I think you're right. You know, Ohio State does a great job of spreading it out. So does, you know, Chris Leak in Florida. I mean, these are offensive, you know, firepower teams. It's going to be fun to watch. I think it's going to be like 35-31. I'll go out on a limb and say Ohio State wins it. But it's going to be one of those games where the turnover, the break here or there, the great defensive stop by an Ohio State defense or Florida defense, both quite good. But the key is always quarterbacks. You know, Leak and Troy Smith. Who outperforms the other? Who gets the ball into those incredible playmakers' hands? Dallas Baker and his gang, this incredible group of Florida threats on the wideouts, as well as Ohio State, which we saw so that they did so well to open up the middle against Michigan. They got it, you know, had all those guys on the wide side of the field, one way or the other, and then were able to bust up the middle for long, long gains in the running game against Michigan. Spreading it out, I think, is really the key to this game for both teams.
My final issue in the game is because of that poor field goal record of Florida and the fact that Ohio State's red zone defense is tremendous. They've only allowed 9 touchdowns in 35 visits to the red zone. They've created 7 more turnovers. That, to me, says that Florida State will have to kick a number of field goals in this game, and I just don't see it happening. That could be the big issue that gives a structural advantage to Ohio State. Who's your pick in this game?
Well, I'm going to go with Ohio State, and I think you're right. I think, you know, I have pause for thought because of that Rose Bowl and because of how Michigan just, you know, disassembled in front of our eyes. But I'm going to go with Ohio State, figuring that Tressel is very different from Lloyd Carr. We've got two great coaches, Urban Meyer and Tressel. This is a great matchup in and of itself, Nick. But I'll say Tressel wins the day, comes up with enough schemes, makes the adjustments at halftime he needs to make. Ohio State, I'm going to say 35, and Florida 31. I'll give them one field goal. And then the 4 touchdowns, but I think Ohio State's going to come out 35-31.
My pick is Ohio State 27-17 for the reason that Troy Smith and this Ohio State team, they have so much experience here in Phoenix. They have had a tremendous record. Their coach has a tremendous record in the big games itself, and for that reason, I'll still give them the edge and hopefully put to rest some of those lingering criticisms that the Big Ten does not have speed. Well, we'll look forward to your report tomorrow at the top of the show, and we'll go into more depth about tonight's big-time game. Thank you,
All
sir.
All right, Nick. Hey,
Thank you,
ma'am. Enjoy it. Thanks a lot.
We'll see you tomorrow, Christine. Christine Brennan from USA Today, and we're switching hats to a guy that knows a lot about playoffs, Len Dawson. How depressing was that flight back on Saturday night?
That was ugly, wasn't it? Jeez, performance. I've never seen anything like it, Nick, where in a playoff game it takes you almost 3 full quarters to pick up 1 first down. Completely dominated Kansas City in the early goings of that football game. And they were really lucky it wasn't a lot worse at halftime. It was only 9-0, and they were still, you know, still within reach if they could do anything, but they were not able to do anything in the second half either.
How much of it, and we're going to have Al Saunders join us in the next segment to look at this, and as I talked to Al, he said, you know, it was just so difficult for him, Len Dawson, to see a Chiefs offense that had so much innovation, so much energy, and certainly the Chiefs have every right to have changed their philosophy and have had great success with Larry Johnson, but did they have too much confidence that Larry Johnson was the only answer?
Well, evidently, because they didn't alter their game plan. I mean, after the first quarter or into the second quarter, if things are not working, change it. Do something different because what you're doing is not working. And they really didn't alter their game plan that much. They did have some drop passes in the early going that were crucial at that particular time because they would have picked up some first downs and kept a drive alive. But I guess what could go wrong did go wrong. They get an interception by Ty Law. And he takes it to the 9-yard line. First play is a 7-yard run. Now it's second and goal from the 2. They don't make it on second down. Then on third down, a running play, Brian Waters steps back with his right foot, steps on top of Trent Green's left
foot. How much was that his fault, or was that Trent's fault for not being aware and careful about that?
I don't know. I can't answer that. I know that I don't know what the blocking was, whether that was what Brian Waters was going to do, take a step back and help out or something. I don't know, but it was a killer. If that's the case, then you stagger your feet as a quarterback. You put that left foot back when you're under the center, so even if he does step back, your foot is away from him, so he can't step
on it.
Did you do
that?
Get the handoff. I don't know if that thing would have been successful anyway, but the thing is, it sure didn't give him a chance.
When we come back, we're going to talk with Len Dawson some more and also have Al Saunders. Talk to us about the interesting phenomenon of making sure your starting quarterback has the confidence, knows that he's the guy, if that is an issue. But also, to me, the issue that it's always about winning the game. In fact, that was the title of Herman Edwards' book, You Play to Win the Game. We're going to talk about that and more, going to the Dallas game, the slicker kicker ball phenomenon, the Philly victory, and more on Head Games Radio. We'll be right back in just a second with Len Dawson and Al Saunders, and in a few more minutes, Merrill Hodge from ESPN. Stay with us on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Sudden ups and downs, breathtaking twists and turns. No, it's not a roller coaster, it's the stock market. But it doesn't have to be a rough ride. Just subscribe to Barron's, America's premier financial weekly. Subscribe now and get 13 weeks of Barron's for only $39. Each fact-filled issue brings you investing insights, market information, and special reports you won't find anywhere else. Special reports that include the best-performing companies, mutual fund managers, and the outlook for stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. That's not all. Subscribe today and you'll also get Barron's Guide to Building Wealth, plus 4 weeks of Barron's Online free with your paid subscription. All the tools you need to make smarter investment decisions. That's 13 weeks of Barron's plus the Guide to Building Wealth and 4 weeks of Barron's Online, all for only $39. This offer is available to new subscribers in the continental U.S.
Call now, 800-828-2639. That's 800-828-2639.
Is credit card debt making your life miserable?
Are you tired of harassing phone calls and struggling to make ends meet?
You may qualify for a little-known program through Debt Consultants of America.
This program allows you to pay back only a small portion of the credit card debt you owe.
In fact, up to 60% of your credit card debt could completely be wiped clean.
It's a proven program.
The best part is Debt Consultants of America does all the work for you.
Plus, you don't have to pay back a penny of the debt that they settle for you.
So grab all your credit card statements and call for a free, no-obligation consultation.
Their friendly counselors will give you all the details.
Call 800-761-3480. That's 800-761-3480.
You need to have at least $10,000 in credit card debt to qualify for this program.
For your free, no-obligation consultation, please call us. 800-761-3480. Call now. 800-761-3480.
If you think that you have to fight the crowds and long lines this tax season, think again. The Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center will prepare you tax returns over the phone. We could tell you how easy and convenient it is, but our clients say it best. Just listen.
No appointments necessary. You get on the phone as simple as A, B, and C.
I saved a lot of money doing it over the phone and quickly.
I knew that they were going to take full advantage of all the tax laws to help me.
It was fast and convenient, and they were very professional.
Just pick up the phone and call them. You won't believe the results unless you call them. They're there for you. They're professionals. They know what they're doing. Call them now.
Call the Ronnie Deutsch Tax Center today. We'll work hard to get you the biggest refund possible. Time to prepare tax returns and refund qualifications will vary. Services not available in New York or Oregon. Call now and you'll save 10% off our tax preparation fees. Call 800-923-3265. That's 800-923-3265. 800-923-3265. Call now.
There's 95 guys or 97 doing the right thing the right way and two or three jerks. So two or three jerks get 97% of the attention.
Join Head Games Radio. Call 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529. And now, here's your host, Nick Lowry.
Okay, I'm just going to go on record. The two or three jerks do not include Len Dawson. Do not include Len Dawson.
I've been asking you that question now for several weeks, who those jerks are.
All right, well, let's switch to the other side of the ball. Indianapolis, their quarterback did not have a good game. Many people were saying that maybe Eli Manning had more pressure on him than his brother, but it looked like Peyton was feeling it too.
Well, he had three interceptions, and there were four turnovers for Kansas City. The punter dropped the ball late in the ball game, and they got Kansas City got great field position. But generally, when you say four turnovers, you're supposed to win that football game. But because Kansas City was so inept offensively for the first three quarters in particular, I mean, they hardly made a game out of it. So, but no, Peyton was off. that thing could have been a blowout, a big blowout, if he was really on target.
And Dwight Freeney, the left side there, Jordan Black was not getting a lot of help there. They were missing their backup tight end as well, somebody that could have provided a little bit more stability there. But let's talk about Trent Green, because it seems to me that ever since, we talked about concussions before, I don't care if it clears the medical staff, if you look at Roethlisberger and if you look at Trent Green, they're guys that just did not play at the same level. They may be able to do well in practice, but the speed in a regular season game is different, and the speed in a playoff game is even more difficult to adjust to. It looks like Trent Green is not processing well. He's not throwing accurately. A lot of the passes were a little bit off target. How do you rate his performance?
Not very good. Not compared to what I've seen in the past from Trent Green. Generally, you know, he was right on the numbers when he was throwing the football. Very accurate passer. But a lot of throws were, my goodness, down at people's ankles and, you know, slow in getting there. And just not the zip that he had on in the previous years when he passed for over 4,000 yards. So, you know, he says he's all right. But his performance tells me that maybe he isn't all right. Because that's not the guy. Bear in mind, you know, the pass protection has not been very good this year for Kansas City. I mean, the quarterback does not have the luxury of standing back there and looking around, analyzing what defenses are in and that with the ball in his hands. He's got to get back, get set to fire that ball because the pressure is going to be on. If you saw the game that the, you know, Jordan Black had a heck of a time with Freeney over there. I mean, geez, he was in the lap of the quarterback all afternoon long. Jason Dunn, the tight end, was put on injured reserve because he's got some disc problems in his back. He has played, I guess, a couple of games with that problem, but, you know, I think, you know, he might say, well, I could have played. I'm a tough guy, but, hey, just ask some of my ex-teammates about how tough you can be, you know, later on in life when that thing comes back to really haunt you, because back problems are problems that really don't go away. So for Trent Green, you know, of course, you can understand the cry here. Damon Heward did so exceptionally well when Trent was out, and they're all crying for Damon Heward in the ball game. A lot of people thought when the second half started, when they hadn't even had a first down, that maybe Herm Edwards would change quarterbacks. Because I say that because during the week he was asked, would you do that? He said, this is sudden death. He said, you got to win this game. You got to find a way to win it. And, you know, yeah, I'd make that move in a heartbeat. But to surprise a lot of people, that he didn't make that move.
What about the fact that a quarterback has some responsibility to put two hands on the ball to protect the ball when he's under pressure? In other words, it looks as if somebody's getting close to Trent and they hit him, the ball's coming out. Is there anything else he can do, or is it just that he's not capable of that right now and some other quarterbacks simply are better at it?
I don't know whether he's trying to desperately to make a play or what, but the intelligent thing is this. You know, you can't, as a quarterback, you can't block. I mean, you're back there, you need some time. If it's not there, then you have to cover that football. You cannot afford to turn it over. He did it against Jacksonville as well. When Kansas City was ahead, they were fortunate that they didn't score on that turnover when he coughed up the football. But he did it again Saturday against Indianapolis when, you know, he's trying to do a little scrambling or moving, but the first thought should be protect the football. A lot of times during the course of the season, he's trying to make plays, Nick, and he gets outside the pocket. When they put that rule in, hey, you can throw the ball away without any penalty. And he's trying to run and do things like that. In a Jacksonville game, he's running with it, trying to pick up yardage instead of throwing it out of bounds, gets his cleats stuck in the turf and twists his ankle. And I don't know if that was a factor in that ball game Saturday against the Colts, whether that ankle was bothering him or not, but his footwork is not what it used to be.
Well, we're going to get to Mike, who wants to talk about the Seattle game in a second. Mike, hang with us, but Al Saunders has joined us, who I'm sure has just a little bit to say about this game. Al, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Nick, how are you? Len, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Al.
Good. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you.
Let's talk about the decision, and I wanted to first start with Len. When you were playing, I talked with Dale Stram yesterday, Hank Stram's son, about this. He couldn't remember, but another friend of mine said he did remember a number of times, Len, a couple times, when you were always going to be the starting quarterback, but a couple games you weren't up to your best, whether it was slight injury, whether it was just not one of those days, and Hank didn't hesitate to put in Pete Beathard a couple times. Not many times, but a couple times. Is that true?
Yeah, it's true. It's a couple times. I remember against Denver one time that I wasn't having a good day, and he put Jackie Lee in, and it helped because he got things moving, and we ended up winning that football game. And there weren't that many times, but there's a couple of times, and I can understand that too. I never did understand my quarterbacks never got to play unless he's the starter. You know, every other position you substitute and keep fresh things out there, but the quarterback, I spent 5 years in the NFL wondering about that because I never got to play, but the quarterback position, I guess, is one in which people are really reluctant to make a switch.
Al, you have to think about getting your running back and your quarterback in the rhythm of the game. Many people noticed that Larry Johnson, when he got to his 20th, 25th carry, suddenly would be certainly a lot more effective. The quarterback's true as well, isn't it?
Well, I think so. You know, I've always maintained that those are the two positions that you have to get in a rhythm, and you do it in a variety of ways. But obviously, the running back needs to carry the ball to get himself in a rhythm, and then the quarterback needs to throw it. So you'd like, you know, early in the game to give him an opportunity to get some completions. It's kind of like playing basketball. You know, you hit those first two layups, and all of a sudden those three-pointers seem like they become a little bit easier. So it's always a part of our game planning to try to help those guys in both those positions get into a rhythm early.
So how do you break down this game as you watch it? It had to be tough for you. First time in 46 years a team didn't get a first down. Let me just straight out ask you, would you have changed quarterbacks at halftime?
Oh, boy, I tell you, that's a tough one, you know, because I'm not there. You know, I don't know what went into the game plan and the complexities of what they faced in terms of what they talked about in the locker room and what their expectations were. You know, they may have gone in with the idea that Larry was going to carry the load, and they expected Trent to make the conversions on third down. And, you know, I don't know what the situation was. So that's hard for me to answer, Nick. And what I do know is that it was hard for me to watch because of the success that we had over the years with Trent as the quarterback and how well he'd done. And last time we played Indianapolis, we put up 45 points and we didn't punt, you know, so it was hard to watch that game. I was pulling for those guys, and I'm so emotionally attached to Trent and the rest of them that, you know, I was just really hoping that they would do very well.
His timing was off, wasn't it, Al?
Pardon me?
Trent's timing was off, wasn't it?
It seems so. He didn't, when we talked about the rhythm early, he didn't seem to have the same rhythm that he normally does. But you know, as a quarterback, when you're put into a situation, I think the first six or seven drives, it was, you know, it was run, and then all of a sudden you're in a third and five, third and six, third and seven situation. And that's the most predictable situation in football for a quarterback to have to throw the ball. You've got two open edges, you've got, you know, your protection issues, and you've got a defense that, you know, sees that passing game quite, you know, regularly, and all of a sudden your quarterback is in a situation where he has to make the difference and he has to make the throws. And I think that's tough to ask of anybody, especially in a playoff environment like that.
Are you trying to say first down is kind of important now to get positive yards on first down?
A guy by the name of Bill Walsh once told me, he said, you know, the most important down in football, everybody thinks it's third down. He says, you're going to fail 60% of the time on third down no matter what. He says, the most important down in football is first down, because it sure makes those third downs a lot easier. And I think as I've grown in coaching, I've really kind of adopted that philosophy myself. And that first down is so critical. And you know, you get a situation where you keep your team in a mixed down situation at second and short or second and manageable, and then all of a sudden it's third and short or first down again, and it sure helps you move those chains.
We're going to go to Mike in a second, but one last question about this game. Was Bob Sanders that important to the Indianapolis defense? One person turning around what was clearly the worst run defense in the NFL, Al?
Well, you know, we played Indianapolis this year and without Bob, and he is such he is what Rodney Harrison is to New England. He's what, you know, John Lynch is to Denver. He makes a tremendous impact.
He's a catalyst.
You know, yeah, you know, I mean, the run, you know, people would tell you in a general way that, you know, you stop the run and you got to run the football in the National Football League to win. Well, there's a lot of things you have to do, but having him in the game, you know, certainly provides another element of strength that their defense needed so desperately, you know, in the waning parts of the year. So, you know, his addition, I think, was a major plus for him.
Let's go to Mike in Seattle. Got a question about the game, Mike. Thanks for joining Head Games.
Hey, actually, I'm in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay, go ahead.
But anyways, no, I just got questions about, you know, after that game, we watched what happened. Everyone just is a foregone conclusion. Dallas was going to win that game if they make the field goal. Nobody's brought up, there was a minute and 20 seconds left in the game. What's to say Seattle wasn't going to run down the field like they did the drive before? You know, all you hear is nothing. We heard nothing on ESPN, any of the sports shows after the game. at all. They didn't interview our coaches, nothing. And we're just kind of wondering why they don't do that.
You know, actually, I find it interesting. We had Josh Brown on the show, and Josh Brown was, you know, clearly a factor at a level that's rarely been accomplished before, and I think that's exactly what would have happened. They would have kicked that field goal anyway, and Seattle would have gone down, and I think Josh Brown would have hit a, you know, medium-range field goal to win the game. That's just my opinion. But we're going to have to go to a break here. Mike, if you'll stay with us, we'll talk a little bit more about that game, and we'll be joined also by Merrill Hodge and get some final thoughts from Al Saunders, along with our good friend Len Dawson, about the battle of the quarterbacks. Because ultimately in the playoffs, the leaders on the field, the field generals, the teams that have the quarterbacks like Len Dawson in his own time, that could make the right decisions, that could make the right audibles, that makes a huge difference in the playoffs. We'll be right back on Sports Byline and Sirius Channel 122. Stay with us.
Smart business people know the difference between success and failure lies in the ability to grow. Being limited by your current facility adds up to lost productivity and even worse, lost revenue. You've looked at the price to build, but have you considered the cost of not building? With interest rates still attractive, now is the time to build that warehouse, manufacturing, or retail space you need. A pre-engineered steel building from General Steel will save you up to half the cost of a similar conventionally built structure, and it'll be erected in about half the time. From airplane hangars to riding arenas, gymnasiums, and churches. Expand quickly and save money.
Call the General right now for your free estimate. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298. And learn about our $20,000 rebate offer. 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298, 800-965-1298.
Hi, everybody. This is Nick Lowry, and I want to tell you about the most beautiful golf course I've ever played. It's called Quintero. It's already ranked in the top 10 in the country as a real estate golf course. I'm telling you, it is the most outstanding combination of beautiful fairways and views you will ever see. If you want to join one of the most outstanding new private courses in the country, go to QuinteroGolf.com or call 888-417-8468. That's 888-41-QUINT or 888-417-8468.
Do you want to own a brand new computer and improve your credit score at the same time? If you have less than perfect credit but can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, then you're already approved for a brand new Dell, HP, or other name brand computer. Guaranteed.
Bad credit? No problem. There's no credit check, so you won't be turned down. If you have a checking or savings account and can afford a weekly payment of $29.99 for just 12 months, you're approved for your brand new name brand computer. Call 800-787-2816. Guaranteed Consumer Funding says you're approved. Give us a call today at 800-787-2816 to have your brand new computer shipped right to you. Act now. We'll add over $700 in premium upgrades and an MP3 player for free. And with select models, we'll throw in a free printer. So get the computer of your dreams today and improve your credit at the same time. Call 800-787-2816. That's 800-787-2816.
Now, every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, join hosts Fred Mowry, Robin Farley, and Charlie Knox on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122 for the Joe Average Poker Radio Show. Whether you're new to the game or a seasoned pro, Joe Average Poker is your show for all the information needed for today's poker player. The latest poker news, insightful interviews, and strategies to improve your game are discussed every week. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific for the Joe Average Poker Radio Show on the Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network and Sirius Satellite Channel 122.
It takes the same thing to get to the Super Bowl and win that it takes to get there and lose. You know, it's not the NBA where you got a 7-game series once you get in that in the final. You got to get it done that day.
And now, back to Head Games Radio with Nick Lowry. Join the conversation now by calling 800-878-PLAY. That's 800-878-7529.
Welcome back to the game. Al Saunders, offensive coordinator for the Redskins, formerly with the Chiefs. Let's look at that Peyton Manning performance. How would you rate Peyton Manning's performance, and which are the teams, as you look at this weekend's games, Al, that look like they're on all cylinders when it matters most?
Well, you know, I'm sure Peyton would tell you it's probably not the kind of performance that he is usually accustomed to. The turnovers were something that always mars that. But, gosh, he was 31 for 39, you know, passing the football. So that's, you know, 8 incompletions in 39 attempts. And, you know, he is what he is, and he's reason that Indianapolis is where they are. You know, he's a guy that's going to win the game for you, and he certainly showed that over the weekend. And, you know, they're playing offensively. They can play better than that offensively, and if they can play that way defensively and then shut down a running game like Kansas City's and do that on a consistent basis, they've got to be somebody that everybody is going to reckon with. But the way Philadelphia played and the way they played at the last part of the season here, I think they're, you know, they're really a team that's playing well and playing on both sides of the ball well enough to maybe go the distance. But it'll be a real interesting game to see San Diego and Baltimore, you know, play and how they play in their playoff, you know, run to the Super Bowl. So it's going to be a great playoff series, and I'm looking forward to looking at some of these games this weekend coming up.
Finally, Seattle going to Chicago. They got killed, absolutely decimated by Chicago, but they're a different team now.
I think they are. You know, Matt looks like he's playing back at the level that he's playing, and of course, you know, Sean's starting to play now, and he's a little bit healthier. And you know, they're banged up in the secondary, and they're banged up on defense. But it'll be they have a way. Mike Holmgren has a way of getting that team ready, and I'm sure that they'll be a match for their opponent.
Well, we'll check in with you maybe next week in the playoffs, my friend. If you can squeeze us in, tell Joe Gibbs we still believe in him and what a great coach he is, and good luck in your off season, my friend. And we'll look forward to maybe having you on the show in the next week or two.
Well, thank you. We've got a lot of work to do, but Joe's going to get us there, and we're all confident that that's going to happen down the road.
Okay, Al. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Al Saunders, he didn't say it, but I'm going to say it, which is he's just devastated in his own way from seeing what happened with that Chiefs team. And I think Herman Edwards is an excellent coach, but it was interesting. He had said earlier in the week that he would make the change, and he didn't make the change at quarterback. It's got to be a difficult thing. Let's switch to the Jets and Patriots game, Len Dawson. Did you get a chance to take that in yesterday?
Yes. Oh, I saw
people are. You did see it. Well, people are saying that Tom Brady is physically better and more healthy than he's been in years. And I think, as I've been saying for a couple weeks since the Pro Bowl balloting, that he is absolutely on a mission. And he looks like he's throwing with tremendous poise, only about 215, 220 yards passing. But he's spreading it around. Gaffney looked excellent yesterday. All these guys that were very inexperienced receivers are playing at a different level now.
Well, you wonder how Belichick does it, right? I mean, it fits in the pieces of the puzzle, and they seem to work. And Brady, to me, is one heck of a competitor. And that's all that's on his mind, is how to figure out a way to move that football, which is what he does. That's what his job is, move the football, hopefully score some touchdowns. And he spreads it around to a lot of different people, and very accurate passer. You know, he's a tough guy as well, so... you know, this is his time of year. This is when he really excels, when you get him to the playoffs. And so I would look for big things from Tom Brady.
We're joined by Merrill Hodge. Hodgie man, how are you?
I'm good, my brother.
One of the hardest working men, along with other good people that come on the show, like Mark Schlereth and Ron Jaworski. Tell us your take on that game. I believe that San Diego will have its hands full with a Tom Brady that is on a mission.
Well, you know... Listen, I think anytime you play Tom Brady, you have your hands full, unless you can take one thing away from him, you know. And what's interesting to me is I went back through the season, and you know, because I get the tape shipped to me, so I have a few, almost a decade of inventory here. But you know, just you go to last year and look at the teams that he struggled with. It was the Miami Dolphins, a team that plays a 3-4, the team that took away his running game, number one, especially when they went to Miami. You know, so they made them one-dimensional. And, you know, as good as Tom Brady is, as good as Peyton Manning is, you know, a guy like Carson Palmer, if you take that from them, you have an opportunity to make them struggle. When you can start dictating when they're going to throw, who they're going to throw it to with your pressures, you know, you can have some success, and that's what Miami did. Now, the only reason I make that reference and that point, I think that's very important because San Diego will go back and look at teams that they struggled with, teams that play a 3-4. They play a 3-4. San Diego has the ability to take away their running game. San Diego has the ability to make them one-dimensional. San Diego has the ability to get pressure on them without giving up five and six guys to do it. They got individual matchup guys that can win and beat and break down, you know, that offensive line. That offensive line who has struggled throughout the year. You know, they've had their moments. Now, they've changed some of their protections, especially after they played the Jets the second time. But New England's going to have their hands full as well. I mean, it's not going to be a cakewalk for them either. I mean, there's a lot of things that they struggle with this year that San Diego poses to them. And we'll have to see if they've been able to correct them. You know, during the season, they were not able to correct them.
We're also joined, as you know, by Len Dawson. Lenny, how important is it, as you're the quarterback there and they're trying to take away your run game, that the blitz itself, even if it doesn't get to you, can also disrupt that running game?
Oh, there's no question about it. Now, who's playing who this weekend? San Diego is
playing who? San Diego is playing the Patriots in San Diego next weekend.
Okay. I guess if Kansas City had won, they would have gone to San Diego. Okay. The good coaches, and that goes way back to a lot of great defensive coaches, is, you know, take away their strength if you can, that individual, you know. And I don't know how you're going to do it with San Diego, because they've got more than Tomlinson. They've got some other people that could hurt you as well. But if you can take away one part of their game and make them one-dimensional, and that's what everybody tries to do, make the other team one-dimensional. And in the case of Kansas City, they came out that way, one-dimensional, by running Larry Johnson all the time. And so first down, they're stacking up, you know, 8-9 men up on that line of scrimmage. The first couple of tackles, I think, in the ball game, Indianapolis and Kansas City, was made by defensive backs, the cornerback making the thing, because he's up there. So if you can make them one-dimensional, that is good, and the object of the offense is don't let them make you one-dimensional. You have to mix things up and make them guessing. You want the defense to be on the defensive, not on the offensive.
Let's talk about defense in this matchup, New England at San Diego. Here's a quick hit from Ron Jaworski.
And I always, you know, as I rate a defense, I use the quarterback's rating against the defense. It gives you a pretty good idea how good the defense is. Number one this year, the Baltimore Ravens, the quarterback rating against that defense is 63.4. For New England, it's 66.1. They are number two in the NFL, according to my defensive scheme. So they are playing good, solid defense.
Let's talk about that, Merrill Hodge. How good is this New England defense, and how good a game is this going to be? Do you think Marty can overcome the so-called jinx?
Well, I believe he can. You know, Len mentioned, you know, they have more than LaDainian Tomlinson, which is so true and makes them so dangerous. You know, if you look at San Diego, they have a variety of ways to beat you. And when I mean, if you just take the running game, for example, one of their great, the one staple run that they have is the power, and they run it to the left. In fact, there's been games where they've run it anywhere from a dozen times during the course of the game, and teams just can't stop them. But they have different ways to run the football. You know, they have their option that they get to the perimeter. They have perimeter running game. They run to the right side as well as to the left side. They have a good draw game off of it. So it isn't just about taking away the power on the left side, you know, or taking away their perimeter run. You almost have to take away all of it, and then they do the reverse action off it. So they have a lot of things you got to take away if you're going to contain LT, which is going to be difficult. Now in the passing game, you know, they're not limited to Antonio Gates, and Antonio Gates is a special player in the sense that he doesn't just play in the hash area. They'll line him up wide, and people will treat him as their best wide receiver. So you know, they'll put corners on him, and he beats those guys. So they have wide receivers that can beat you down the field. They can attack you short. Then we didn't even talk about all of the so-called trick plays, or the, you know, the gadget plays with LT, where he throws the football and they do some things from that perspective. So there's a lot of things that you have to be able to take away. I mean, granted, you're going to try to take away some of the things, but you can't take away all of them. And those other things that you can't take away, they still have the ability to beat you. So, you know, and obviously Phillip Rivers has struggled. You know, there was a couple weeks where he struggled. You know, people will tend to say, oh, he's going to struggle. And I just don't think so in this game. You know, I go to a team that he probably had one of his best performances of the year that kind of broke them out when he had really kind of played poorly or had been inept, is when they played the Pittsburgh Steelers on a Monday night. He made a throw to Antonio Gates, I think changed their season when Joey Porter was covering him. So, you know, when you look at how guys play to this point, you know, even the last game of the year, I thought he played a lot better. I don't expect him to play bad. I expect him to play great. And they don't have to have him play great, though, in order to win, because they have so many other things they can use to win.
Well, Philadelphia had a tough game against New Orleans earlier in the year, but they're a different team now. As you looked at their ability to make the big plays yesterday, Len Dawson, it looks as if they really do have a shot, don't they?
I think so. I think you're getting down to the point now where any of these teams have a shot at it, because they eliminated, you know, couple of the teams that were very marginal. Kansas City was one of those teams. They were fortunate. They needed things to happen to get into the playoffs, and they were playing a better team in Indianapolis. In Indianapolis, who, you know, played very well. But I think when you're down out of these guys, but you know, bear in mind though, Indianapolis has won an awful lot of games in the last couple of years with Peyton Manning at the quarterback position. But you know, defense is generally the thing that's going to carry you in important games. Your defense is not going to let it get out of hand. And the only defense is Indianapolis that I think would be questionable. But at least against the Chiefs, they came out so fired up. They just stuffed the run, and they just monopolized the Kansas City offense in that ball game on Saturday. So I would look for any of these teams got a shot at it.
All righty. Well, Merrill, we just got a couple more minutes with you, my friend, the hardest working man in show business. Let's talk about some of the other games that, to me, are interesting. In Baltimore, I believe that the Baltimore defense is just playing so efficiently, 27 sacks, and I think only giving up one sack. Our friend Mark Schlereth was harping on that last week. I think they're too physical for Peyton Manning.
You know what? I do not. I think that Peyton Manning and the Colts, they get a bad rap for not being physical because, you know, they throw the football. But, you know, I just got done watching them against the Ravens last year. And the one thing that stood out to me is how they lined up and they played a physical part of that game with them. They played physical. They won, I think, what was it, 24-0. You know, defense completely shut down the Ravens. I know they got Steve McNair, so plays much better than what they had a year ago. And they're doing things different offensively. But as far as a defense that's going to do a lot of the same things to Peyton Manning, at the end of the game when they had to kill the clock and they had to run the ball, they ran the football. They lined up and they attacked physically. You know, so I think they get a bad rap for that because I remember a game a couple years ago in Tennessee when Tennessee was the, you know, a physical team. The Colts went up there and they ended up beating them, and they beat them at the physical part of the game. So I think that, to me, is something the Colts don't get enough credit. But it is going to be a great quarterback duel. When I say that, I mean Peyton Manning against Ray Lewis, because Ray Lewis does what Peyton Manning does on the defensive side.
Okay, just got 30 seconds. Who's your pick then?
It's early, man, and you know I can always change at any given. But I'm gonna tell you this: I'm gonna go with the Indianapolis Colts at this point. I just think Peyton Manning has. You can beat Peyton Manning down for 50 minutes, and then the last 10, you know, he does his deal, and I'm gonna give the edge to Peyton Manning and the Colts.
All right, buddy. Well, I'm going definitely with the Baltimore Ravens. I'm giving them an.
Well, you could say Baltimore Colts, then you're covering both teams.
Then I'm really covering it. But that's really covering it.
I'll
tell you what, I'll get you two of those wonderful bottles of wine from Millbrook Wines if I'm wrong. But I'm going with Baltimore. Merrill's going with Indy. When we come back, we'll have final thoughts from Len Dawson. Merrill, thank you, buddy.
You got it, guys. Take care.
Merrill Hodge will be right back with Len Dawson, the cool one, on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite.
Chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. So why not make a free phone call right now that could save you up to 50%, maybe even more, on quality term life insurance from Matrix Direct Insurance Services. Whether you're buying life insurance for the first time or cutting back on the cost of an overpriced policy, one free call to Matrix Direct is the simple and affordable way to get the term life insurance you need. Call Matrix Direct today, because chances are you're paying too much for life insurance. Here's the number, 1-800-471-TERM. The call is free, the quote is free, and there's no obligation. Call Matrix Direct now. 1-800-471-TERM. 1-800-471-TERM. That's 1-800-471-TERM. Call now.
Available now from Doubleday Books. Real Baseball. Baseball's golden era. The way America witnessed it. In the movie newsreels. Author Les Krantz brings a celebration of the golden age of baseball through the movie house newsreels that once presented the game's great plays and players to fans across the country. Real Baseball is an enchanting look back at baseball from 1932 to 1965. This handsomely illustrated volume, with a foreword by Hall of Fame catcher Yogi Berra, traces the seminal role of newsreels in making baseball the national pastime before television brought the game into houses across America. This book also includes a one-hour DVD that features the most thrilling moments from original newsreels hosted by baseball great Joe Garagiola. Stay tuned to Sports Byline USA Broadcast Network for your chance to win a copy of Real Baseball by Les Krantz from Doubleday. Available now wherever books are sold.
Hey, Tanya Roberts here, and I want to know, where are you going on your next romantic getaway? Well, how about 3 days and two nights in Las Vegas? And what about, you don't pay a dime for it? That's right, act like a high roller in Vegas and pay nothing for it. It's all part of our celebration of Vegas's newest five-star resort, Tahiti Village. We want you to get out of Dodge, stir up a little romantic magic in the most exciting city on earth with a complimentary second honeymoon, all on Tahiti Village. Come on, you know you deserve it. You know you want it. Las Vegas is calling. So stop what you're doing and call this special toll-free number, 866-50-GO-WIN. Oh, and as a bonus, if you call right now, they're going to throw in tickets to a hot show right on the strip. Can we say high roller treatment, baby? So call 866-50-GO-WIN for all the exciting details. That's 866-50-GO-WIN. Call now.
We want to thank Al Saunders. Hopefully he'll be joining us a couple times, along with Marv Levy, for their picks in the playoffs. Christine Brennan from USA Today, who will be back tomorrow with our BCS coverage. And Merrill Hodge. Tomorrow we'll have that coverage of the BCS, fresh from the game itself. I'll be there tonight. And we'll also be joined by Mike Kliss from the Denver Post and Dr. Louis Soka in the last half hour to talk about the aftermath of the Broncos' Darren Williams murder and what that means, what teams can come back. And Len Dawson, you remember Joe Delaney and what it did when he died prematurely right before the 1983 season. You remember, of course, Derek Thomas, what that happened as well, what that did for the team. What's your take on how this will affect the Broncos team?
I really don't know. The season is a long ways off, but I hope it affects maybe the players to see how dangerous it is out there, and that you must be careful, you know, who you associate with and where you go, because it's just so senseless for a young man to lose his life, somebody just coming by and shooting him. That's terrible. But I think it's going to be hard, but those things, eventually you do get over it, and because those guys are involved in football and that they want to win a championship, I'm sure that they'll dedicate themselves to that young man.
Final comment, Len, is the ball itself. You know, there's a new rule this year. Those poor, vulnerable visiting quarterbacks were complaining that they'd get to the games this year. Tom Brady and Peyton Manning among them were ones that pushed for this, that the visiting quarterbacks could get their own balls rubbed in. They'd have their own NFL balls, and then, of course, the home team would have their own rubbed in balls, but those poor kickers have the slicker ball, and I think that's an interesting irony that the game with Tony Romo was ended because that slicker ball was definitely part of the reason, I think, that he fumbled the ball at the end of the game.
I've been through it. I know exactly what happened. I mean, I looked at that picture and I saw how slick it looked, and what the thing, he caught the ball, but then handling the thing. I've had a ball that they take right out of the box and hand it to me years ago, and I'd start to throw it forward, and it went backwards. I mean, it slipped right out of my hands, and I start complaining, and Hank Stram, my coach, thought I, you know, having some illusions or something, so I said, let's you and I play catch. And so we were playing catch, and it slipped out of his hands, and all of a sudden it got his attention. So I think the league, you know, should make sure that ball is handleable, because
absolutely,
to lose a game.
We gotta go, Lenny. We love you, buddy. Thanks, man.